This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I am Lau Yao Hua. Cervical cancer is the fourth most common cancer worldwide, killing more than 250,000 people yearly. And cervical cancer is a particular concern in Southeast Asia because in this region, we have one of the top incidence rates of cervical cancer compared to the rest of the world. Now, this health burden can actually be removed because we do have a vaccine for the agent that causes cervical cancer, the human papilloma virus, or HPV for short. Despite that, throughout Southeast Asia, we have only three countries that have implemented a comprehensive vaccination program, and that is Thailand, Malaysia, and Laos. So what actually stopped the rest of our neighbors from implementing HPV vaccination? Now, to tell us more is Didit Setiawan, health economist at the University of Groningen at the Netherlands. He is also assistant professor at Universitas Muhammadiyah Purwokerto, Indonesia. And Didit joins us on the phone. Welcome, Didit.
Good afternoon.
Can you give us, I guess, an overview of the status of HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia?
Well, as you mentioned previously, that several countries, for example, Thailand, Laos, and Malaysia, probably Singapore as well, but it's in a conditional terms. Some countries are already implemented the vaccination policy, but still, because there are some, call it like, because some issues that has to be solved by every countries, so maybe some countries have not yet implemented that vaccination policy. Mainly, what I thought is about the evidence, mainly. For example, like in my study, I also consider Indonesia. They already have the evidence recently, but it is not yet communicated between the researchers and also the decision maker. That's why maybe there is some gap between the information and also the decision making process. So that's why some of the countries have not implemented the policy yet.
Right. You said that there is the evidence. What evidence do you mean?
Let's say, as a decision maker, for example, the Ministry of Health of a country, you have to decide whether or which health policy should be implemented in your countries. So in order to do that, you need a strong evidence. You need a scientific evidence, let's say, such as the cost-effectiveness analysis, which provide what will happen or what will happen if you invest your health budget into some health policy. Is it beneficial for your for your people or not? I think that's the key.
Right. You know, your recent study published in the Journal of Expert Reviews of Vaccines. Now, you look at cost effectiveness of HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia. So can you just briefly tell us, what did you find in that study?
Well, I reviewed several studies that has been performed in Southeast Asian countries. And I generally found that HPV vaccines, either the bivalent vaccine or quadrivalent vaccine, is a cost-effective policy in these countries. That is my general finding.
What do you mean by cost-effectiveness in this case? Like, how would you qualify it as being cost-effective?
Oh yeah, maybe it's quite tricky to discuss about the cost effectiveness because in the perspective of economics, you can decide whether some investment is profitable in the future just to calculate the future profit or something like that. I mean, you can only consider the monetary aspect of the investment, but in health economics perspective, particularly in the cost-effectiveness analysis, you cannot only see the monetary aspect, but you have to also see the health aspect. That's why we need to combine these two aspects, the monetary and also the health. So you combine it into one study called cost-effectiveness analysis, and the outcome is the cost-effectiveness. So if you compare, let's say, I will take the example for HPV vaccine, and compare it with, for example, if a country doesn't want to provide any prevention for cervical cancer, then if you compare those costs from those two strategy, and then you also compare the health outcome from those two options. The first one is the HPV vaccination and the other one is without any prevention. So when you combine it, those two factors, then you can decide whether the investment in the HPV vaccination policy will be good for your countries or not.
So what are they actually looking at? So what is the, I guess, you know, you mentioned if we are running a business, then we look at the profits, right? And we look at yes. something like, you know, the returns on equity or the returns on asset. In yes. terms of a health policy then, in terms of HPV vaccination, what mm-hmm. is the ratio, I guess, that we are looking at here to make it cost effective? Is there a number that we are looking at?
Yeah, usually we call it the incremental cost effectiveness ratio. It is a unit to measure the cost effectiveness of an option. In this case, it's HPV vaccination, providing HPV vaccination for free in a country and compared to another option, either screening only or without any cervical cancer prevention. And this unit, this ICER, incremental cost effectiveness ratio, has to be compared with the willingness to pay of each government. Let's say, for example, I would say in the generally in the developed countries, they already have these numbers for the willingness to pay. But if a country doesn't have these numbers, the threshold or willingness to pay, we usually call it like that, then the WHO suggests a normative willingness to pay about 1 to 3 times the gross domestic product. So if the number of ICER or the value of ICER is higher than 3 times the GDP, then we can decide that health technology or that health policy is too expensive for a country.
So if you can recap, so what you're saying is that willingness to pay off a government, right? So because we are looking at a situation here where the government is providing HPV vaccination for free. So it's a matter yes. of asking how much the government is willing to take out of its budget to invest in this health policy, right? And they're looking at how cost effective that is. And so you say 3 times if this ICER, this incremental cost effective ratio falls below 3 times of GDP. So that means, so that's a recommendation given by the WHO, the World Health Organization. So that would mean that it is cost effective, right?
Yeah, cost effective in the other word, it means that if you invest that health policy, then you will gain a benefit more than what you invest.
So talking about the benefits of having a HPV vaccination, obviously we're not just looking at the health benefits because we are talking about cost effectiveness here. So yes. what are some of the social economic benefits of providing HPV vaccination for free in a country?
Yeah, that is the main reason. That's why government has to provide it for free for their people, because let's say HPV is the clear cause of cervical cancer. And as you mentioned previously, that cervical cancer is fourth highest in the region, at least. So if they provide the HPV vaccine and then a lot of girls will be vaccinated in the future, the chance of getting the cervical cancer is decreasing. So if that burden, if the number of cervical cancer is decreasing in the future, then those population will be able to live longer and more productive, and they can be more active socially, or they can work, and then they also can get more income. And even if we want to see in the government perspective, they will also provide more, for example, the income taxes, because they work even more and they get more salary, and also they can pay more taxes. So it is also some economic return from the government. But if you want to limit it into the socioeconomic benefit, then I think the activity or the productivity of the people will be increasing, I think.
Right. So what were some of the main factors that determine the cost effectiveness of HPV vaccination. We have mentioned the willingness of the government to pay, so that mm-hmm. is already a threshold that determines whether it's cost effective or not. What are some mm-hmm. of the other main factors that play into the equation? If you can just briefly give us an idea.
Yeah, basically, if you do cost effectiveness analysis, at least you consider two parameters. The first one is cost that has to be invested by the government. And the second factor is the health outcome. Usually we use the unit, we call it the QALY or the quality adjusted life year, or in the simple way we can call it the quality of life of the people. And that's why from that two parameters or factors, we can see, for example, what factor will influence the cost. For example, I will say that usually in the study of cost-effectiveness analysis about HPV vaccine, usually the vaccine price will influence the cost, because if the higher vaccine price, we of course will increase the cost of cervical cancer prevention program. Therefore, if we divided the incremental cost of vaccination by the health outcome, the value of ICER could be higher and sometimes too expensive for a country. And the other factor is the current incident of cervical cancer in a country. For example, if the incident of cervical cancer is already low, for example, due to the successful of screening program in a country, because cervical cancer prevention is not only HPV vaccine, but also cervical screening. So if the screening is good, the acceptance of the screening is good, the coverage of the screening is good, maybe sometimes the addition of HPV vaccine will not give a high impact in the cervical cancer incident. Then if the use of the low incremental health benefit to divide the incremental costs between two strategies, I think the ICER will also higher. So that will be the same with the vaccine price. I think that is two of many examples that will influence the ICER calculation in cost-effectiveness analysis.
So we have been speaking to Didit Setiawan, health economist at University of Groningen at the Netherlands, about his study on the cost-effectiveness of HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia. We're going to take a short break now, and after the break, we will speak to Didit again about the details of his study and the implications for implementing HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia. This is Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back to Health and Living on the Bigger Picture. So before the break, we have been discussing cost-effectiveness of HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia with Didit Setiawan, a health economist at the University of Groningen at the Netherlands. Didit has just published a review of studies looking at how cost-effective HPV vaccination is in Southeast Asia. So Didit, before the break, you said that the general finding of your review is that HPV vaccination is cost-effective in Southeast Asia, right? Can you tell us what actually prompted your review? Like, what motivated you to carry out this review?
Actually, because according to WHO survey, the incidence of mortality caused by the HPV-related cancer, particularly cervical cancer in Southeast Asia region, is extremely high. And most importantly, it's preventable. It's preventable because at least three types of HPV vaccine are available in the market now. But in my study, I only included two studies because the third one is just approved the last few months, I think, or last year, I think. But I don't know why countries in the Southeast Asia region have not implemented the vaccination policy yet. That's why I did this review.
Have there never been any similar reviews done?
In this region?
Yes.
Not yet, I think. But in the other region, probably, because particularly in the developed countries, sometimes they also want to decide whether this vaccination has to be implemented or should we add some more scenario or some more policy related to this vaccine in the country, they also do this kind of study to support the decision making process.
Right, but definitely the reviews done in developed countries are not relatable to the ones done in a developing country, right? Where the economics are totally different and the population sizes are very different too. So how did you actually carry out your review?
I did my review according to a guideline, because if you want to do a review and you need to provide the good information, right? So that's why I perform it according to the guideline on systematic review. It's not only a review, but it has to be systematic, so everybody can repeat your review, then, and they will have the same result. This guideline called PRISMA, or Preferred Reporting System, Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis, this guideline helps us, the researchers, to do the systematic review. So, for example, I have to develop the search term, and then I expand the search term based on some criteria, and then I search. I use that search term in the several databases, mainly PubMed and Embase. That are the two main databases which is related to the health studies. Then I screen all the study detected by those databases, and then finally I found that the 10 reviews, 10 articles, which is published previously.
Right. So you finalized 10 studies, right, that you included in your review and you compared between them. So do these 10 studies differ a lot in how they evaluated cost effectiveness of HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia?
Generally, most of the study implemented comparable method, because in general, there are two types of methodology. The first one is modeling, and the other one is the observational study. And not only the method, but the parameters included in the study is also comparable. But of course, the cost effectiveness analysis is country specific. That's why the additional value of this review is, since I made the result is comparable, so I transform the economic monetary factors, for example currency, between countries, among the countries is different, so I change it into, I transform it into a dollar, international dollar, so it will be comparable. That's why in this review provide a comparable result, comparable method, and I think this, the information provided by this review is quite acceptable in this region.
Right. So you mentioned that the studies that you reviewed, right, they used they either use a mathematical modeling approach or they use actual observed data. Now, I guess a mathematical modeling approach, right, is built on all these assumptions that, you know, anyone can challenge. How much confidence do such studies give us, you know, that's based on modeling compared to studies based on actual observed data? Why did you not just use the studies that were based on observed data? And they're presumably they are more concrete and more solid.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good, very good question. The thing is, let's say if you want to study about the HPV vaccine, you have to give the vaccine to 12 years old girls, and then you have to follow those girls who already get the vaccine until they got the cervical cancer. Let's say you can observe the outcome about 2 or 3 decades. So I think it is not possible to do those types of study in real life. That's why we need to use the current evidence from clinical trial, from a very short clinical trial, and extrapolate those results into a model to extrapolate or to see whether how is the development of the cancer in the future. And then from that, then you can save your time, save your resources, and you can provide a good evidence. Of course, it is debatable, because one people say that all models are wrong. No model can mimic the real-life condition. But still, if you want to have an evidence, of course, this is the most acceptable ways to answer this type of question.
Let's talk about the details of your findings and the results of your review of these 10 studies. Give us an idea of the benefits of HPV vaccination that these studies have found. Like, how much is it able to reduce cervical cancer rates? I mean, it could be based on a mathematical projection, but how much is it able to reduce the cervical cancer rates?
The magnitude of the benefit has to be compared to something else, isn't it? Because you can say high or you can say low because there is some other comparator. That's why if we compare this vaccination policy in terms of cervical cancer reduction in the future, the reduction is considerably high if you compare it with the screening alone or if the government doesn't provide anything. So if you add the HPV vaccination in the population, the reduction of the cervical incident or the death related to cervical cancer is, well, I would say it's quite high.
Can you give us a number?
Well, it depends. I mean, it is really depend on the number of the actual incident. I couldn't say the exact number, but I think it's about the range, and the range is quite high. It's, let's say about 5% to 55%, it depends on the assumption and several parameters included in the studies.
Right, so you're saying that if we implement HPV vaccination in addition to screening or no interventions at all, then we may get a reduction in cervical cancer rates of 5% to 55%?
Yeah, I would say that because, for example, study in the in Thailand, the incident decreased from 4.7% to 70%. Another study from Thailand also provide 55%. It's quite wide variation about that numbers actually.
Right.
But still, the general information or the general perspective that is that the reduction is exists. So the benefit is quite promising.
Have you found any evidence or hints that HPV vaccination will not be cost effective in Southeast Asia countries?
According to my review, I didn't find any opposite result. But of course, if you want to get the actual result of vaccination, we need to wait up to one or two more decades. So, no, I don't get that kind of result currently.
Some of our listeners may not know there are several types of HPV vaccines, right? You mentioned that in your review, you only look at two types, right? The bivalent,
yes,
and the quadrivalent. So have you found any difference in cost effectiveness between these two vaccines?
It depends. I mean, because those two vaccines possess different additional benefit beyond cervical cancer prevention due to HPV 16 and 18 infection. Because current evidence showed that cervical cancer mainly caused by HPV types 16 and 18. And those two vaccines already include these types of virus in their vaccines. But I will take the example, the bivalent vaccines, although they only included the HPV 16 and 18 in their vaccine, but they claim that they also have cross-protection properties to prevent another types of HPV infections, such as HPV types 31, 33, 45, 52, and 58, which is also showed that these types of cancer also stimulate the development of the cervical cancer. On the other hand, the quadrivalent vaccine consists of not only HPV type 16 and 18, but also HPV types 6 and 11, which are responsible for genital warts. Some studies sometimes include those properties on their studies. Some other does not include those additional properties in their study. So that's why some studies say that bivalent is better. The others say the quadrivalent is better. That's because of this additional benefit. That's what I've found so far, I think.
Mm-hmm. So we have talked about this briefly before the break, the price of the vaccine itself. So it largely determines whether a nationwide HPV vaccination program is cost effective or not. It really depends on how much each dosage costs the government, right? So what's the price range that you have found across these 10 studies? Do they differ a lot, the price of the vaccines?
Oh yeah, in this world there are, as far as I know, there are three types of vaccine price. The first one is the normal market price. It costs about $100 per dose, and you need and people need two doses to prevent this cervical cancer. That is the normal, or the market price is $100. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the PAHO price. PAHO means Pan-American Health Organization. That is for countries in the South of America. The price is about, let's say, $13 to $15. And the last price is the Gavi price. Gavi is an organization who stimulate a low-income countries to start the vaccination program. Since it is non-profit organization, they got a good deal from the manufacturer, from the pharmaceutical company. They got, I think, about $3 to $4 per dose.
Right. If that's the case, then that means that it is very important for a country to actually apply for the Gavi price, right? To actually apply for a donation of vaccines from Gavi. And to do that, the country would have to be a low middle income country to qualify for that, right?
Low income countries.
Right. So that means some of the Southeast Asian countries that have not yet implemented HPV vaccination programs would not qualify for the Gavi help then.
Yeah, I think most of them are not qualified for this price. But still, if they can discuss or they can negotiate with the pharmaceutical company who possess several types of vaccine, I think they can have a good deal as well. In my knowledge, when I was in the Netherlands, they got a very good deal for this vaccination, but the consequences is that they have to also buy another vaccines from the same company. So it's like a package, let's say, for a country. So if you want to have a cheap option for this A vaccine, you also have to buy this B vaccine for your countries. So that kind of deal exists, but it depends on the countries.
Right. So vaccination, although it's able to help us prevent cervical cancer, it actually isn't the one-all silver bullet to stop and eradicate cervical cancer, because there are still many different variants of the human papilloma virus, and the vaccines that we have now cannot address all of those variants. So screening and treatment is still important. In your finding, how has screening affect the cost effectiveness of HPV vaccination, and how can we better conduct the screening to make the vaccination more cost effective?
According to my study, because I mainly investigate the HPV vaccine, I couldn't precisely answer this question as well. But in my opinion, because there is wide range of the, let's say, cost of cervical screening, we can start with the visual inspection using acetic acid, which is the lowest price. It is usually implemented in developing countries with limited resources. Or until there is also another screening, let's say pap smear or HPV DNS testing, which are more expensive. But since it's easier, or well, not that easy, but it's more doable and the investment is not that big compared to HPV vaccine, usually cervical screening exists before the HPV vaccine. Then if you ask about how big the influence? I think it is depend on the acceptance of the screening itself, because of course, if the people or the women who already sexually active want to do the screening, then I think it will also provide a good or high benefit for the society. But sometimes, well, I think it's in general, women doesn't want to do that, or they are afraid, or they think it's a secret thing. So there are some, yeah, there are some factors that prevent the successful of the screening. That's why the HPV vaccine is another option to reduce the burden of cervical cancer in the future. I think that's my opinion.
Your review has found that HPV vaccination is cost-effective in Singapore and Philippines, but these two countries haven't implemented a comprehensive HPV vaccination program. What actually stops them from doing it? Is it the high price, or is it that the incidence rates of cervical cancer is just already low? Like, what actually stops them from implementing it?
Well, Singapore, I would say, yeah, it's my opinion, yeah? Because Singapore, they are developed countries. I don't think they will get a good discount for this vaccine. That's why they implement the HPV vaccination as a conditional, using a conditional terms. And maybe because they don't get the discount, or maybe because their population are small, that's why if they provide it for everybody, I think the benefit won't be that high, because the reduction of cervical cancer won't be that high. So I think the cost effectiveness won't be that good. And Philippines has different issues, I think. Philippines, because I guess just like Indonesia or other developing countries, although the incident is, well, let's say it's high, the initial investment for this policy is relatively also expensive, I think. Therefore, they have to think about how to provide it for free, but the investment can be minimized. That's my opinion.
Why would you say that the cost for implementing the HPV vaccination is high in Philippines? Is it because they lack the infrastructure, or they lack the facilities to actually carry out the vaccination?
I think that's one of the cases, because generally in developing countries, the infrastructure is not that good, and vaccine is a fragile thing. That's why you have to take care of it that well, to prevent it is broken or something like that.
So based on your review, how should a policymaker in a country that has not yet implemented HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia, like how should a policymaker make use of your study?
Well, since the evidence is available, I mean the socio-economic benefit will already explain it or clearly explain it. The next step is the government should do identification or their ability, the identification of the problem, I mean, the specific on their specific countries. And also they have to see their self, their ability, whether which strategy has to be implemented first. For example, I can tell you about Indonesia.
Right.
One of the countries, because they have a huge population in their countries, it is too expensive to provide HPV vaccine for the whole countries. That's why they try to implement it gradually. For example, in this year, 2017, they provided for free for girls in the Jakarta province, the capital. Capital city, and it will be followed by several cities like Bali or Jogja in the next year, I think. And at the end of 2020, they try to cover everything. That's one of the strategy that a country can do. For example, the gradual implementation. Let's say, or they also can do the discussion with the pharmaceutical company about which price is acceptable for those countries. And, well, a lot of things can be done by the decision maker. It depends on their capability and their willingness, because it is, I mean, the evidence is exists, everything is clear, then you should just do it. Because every year of delay, there will be more cervical cancer burden, or people with cervical cancer or another HPV-related cancer who will suffer, who won't be able to work, or who won't be able to get money to get a better living. So you should implement this as soon as possible, in my opinion.
We have been talking about the cost-effectiveness of implementing HPV vaccination in Southeast Asia with Didit Setiawan, health economist at University of Groningen at the Netherlands. Didit is also assistant professor at Universitas Muhammadiyah Purwokerto in Indonesia. Thank you, Didit.
You're welcome.
I am Lau Yahua, and you have been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.